So let's dive deep. Let's do it. The only thing I know is that I don't know anything. Are you really ready to look at yourself? You are seen, you are heard, you are loved. Cut all that out. Just say the deep dive with Adam Roa. I don't like any of that.
The Deep Dive with Adam Roa.
What's up, Deep Divers? Thank you for joining me. My name is Adam Roa. I'm your host for this episode of Deep Dive Musings. In today's episode, I want to dive into compassion. I was watching an episode of Brain Games last night, and for those of you who don't know, Brain Games is just a television show that kind of analyzes how we operate, how our brain works. And the episode focused on compassion, and there was this interesting study that was done where they had a individual come in to a room, and they were seen through what they were told was a one-way mirror, right? So the people on the other side couldn't see them. And they had a bowl of chili in front of them, and they have had three different levels of hot sauce. They had mild, medium, and death. And what they were told was that they were going to bring in a subject on the other side of the mirror who couldn't see them, and they were going to add hot sauce to the bowl of chili, and then the person who couldn't see them was going to eat the bowl of chili. And now the person who was eating the chili had to eat the entire thing in order to get paid. That was their motivation. And the person adding the hot sauce, all they had to do was choose what amount of hot sauce and what type of hot sauce to add to the chili, knowing that the other person had to eat it all in order to get paid. So, first, think about what you would do if you were the person adding hot sauce to a bowl of chili, knowing that someone else had to eat it, all of it, in order to get paid. Would you add death, medium, or mild? Would you add a lot or a little? Well, like unanimously across the board, people added mild and not very much of it, just a little bit. Because compassion is our go-to instinct. We naturally are compassionate beings. Here's the funny wrench that they threw into this study. So they then had the subject who was going to be eating the chili, who would sit in that room across the one-way mirror, which the people would see the person before adding the chili, right? So I may not have said that before, but that's an important fact. While they're sitting there debating whether, being explained the directions, on the other side of the mirror, the subject who's going to be eating the chili is sat down so they can see the person. And like I said, a complete stranger sitting across from them, they add almost no hot sauce. Now, they throw this wrench into the study by having the person who's going to be eating the chili now bump into the person adding the hot sauce before the study starts, like in the lobby. He bumps into the people and then is really rude about it. Like, hey, watch where you're going. Like, dude, get out of the way. That sort of thing. Intentionally rude and physically bumps in to the people who will now be adding the hot sauce. So what do you think happens? Do you think that because this person was rude, now the people adding the hot sauce, when they see that's the person eating the chili, do you think that they're still going to be compassionate? The answer, as you might have guessed, is no. The people almost across the board are adding a lot of death sauce to the chili. There's a level of revenge. There's a level of like righteous anger. There's a level of wanting to see justice be done. A wrong be righted, that now overpowers the sense of compassion. How many times have you been in a situation where you might normally be compassionate, but because you were wronged, because you felt slighted, all of a sudden compassion was possibly the last thing on your mind, or at the very least it was behind the desire to get justice? I'm raising my hand super high, so my shoulder's practically out of the socket, because I, for most of my life, have felt an extreme sense of right and wrong, an extreme sense of like a principled justice system in my head. And I think a lot of that comes from when I was growing up. I had, you know, I was a very late bloomer, as many of you know, and so physically I couldn't compete, right? I could not enforce any sort of rules. I was at the mercy of like my friends who were all bigger than me, or like the other people I was with. I was always physically at their mercy as far as like if we were playing a game, or if we were even just in an argument. If it ever got physical, I would lose. And so I would hang on to the rules, because the rules of arguments, the rules of logic, the rules of the game, that was what evened the playing field. Because I would just make sure that the rules were enforced, that it was all fair, and then I felt equal. I felt enough. I felt like I had a chance. And I think that that's very much carried over for a lot of my life. And it's something that I'm actively working on. I'm working on, you know, I don't really believe that there are absolute rights and wrongs. I believe that everyone is doing the best they can from where they're at, from their current level of consciousness, from their current circumstances. They're doing the best that they can. And I, believing that, is really interesting, because it immediately removes this like absolute right and wrong. It makes me contemplate things a little bit harder. And so when you've been cut off in traffic, do you still feel like you have the same level of compassion for the person who cut you off? As opposed to like imagine now that that someone's signaling to get in to your lane, and you're in a good mood. No one's cut you off. You've had a good day. Like, okay, I'm going to let this person in. They're signaling. It's nice. Now, imagine that same person cut you off. It's the same car that cut you off, and then they got into the other lane, and now they're signaling to get back into yours. Are you as inclined to let them in? Well, how about that first person that you did let in front of you in traffic? What's to say they didn't just cut off like five other people before you allowed them in? You see, your level of compassion, your generosity, which is conditional in many ways, may not be because of an absolute. The person who cut you off, you might be the only person that they cut off, but because it's you, you're less likely to let them in. And then that person who didn't cut you off, that you're happily, you're like, okay, I'm in a good mood, I'm going to let this person in, may have cut off 5 people, 10 people. You don't know. So it's just interesting how our perceived slights now become the way in which we evaluate our own level of compassion. So here's an interesting thing, going back to the study, okay, because they added another wrench. There's 2 wrenches in the study now. And what they did was they had the exact same scenario play out. So they were bringing people in for the study. They had the person who was going to be eating the chili bump into them in the lobby, be really rude, and then they would proceed with the study. And so you had the people adding the hot sauce sitting there. Then across the mirror, you had the rude chili eater that would come and sit down across this one-way mirror. And then you would have the difference being that the scientist who is leading the study, who is talking and explaining the rules, who had been just very business focused beforehand, was now suddenly incredibly nice, showing them compassion, telling them how they had a really nice smile and how was your day and would you like a glass of water, and be like, hey, and just being really personable, being really loving. That was the only difference. What do you think happened? Well, what happened was you saw people go back to compassion. You saw individuals who were previously in, you know, they're different individuals, but the people who had been slighted before, who felt like this dude was rude, who were giving death sauce and a lot of it, were now being treated with compassion. And so now they were treating the guy eating the chili with compassion. Most of them were giving all the way back down to the mild sauce again. Some of them were giving medium. It was fascinating to see how quickly, and this all happens in the span of minutes, right? And so what's really valuable to look at is what that means about how our brain operates, what it means about being human. It means that compassion is contagious. You see, our default is compassion. Just like that first iteration of the chili study. If it's a complete stranger and we're in a neutral space, we'll be compassionate. Then if we feel slighted, like that second part of the chili study, our compassion takes a back seat. And then if we're treated with compassion, even when we feel we've been slighted, when someone treats us with compassion, like the final iteration of this chili study, well, now we've caught that compassion. It's contagious. We're back to much closer, at the very least, we're close to our neutral, natural state of seeing the human in other human beings. And so think about the implications for your own life. Not from the stance of, oh, well, that explains how I show up. Right? Not from the stance of, well, if people treated me more compassionately, then I'll be more compassionate. No, what I'm saying is think about what effect you can have on the planet by walking through the world with more compassion, with more love in your heart. It's contagious. It is literally contagious, meaning every person that you walk through the world and encounter, that you treat with more love and more compassion, you are bringing them more and more deeply into their own space of love and compassion. The hashtag that I use on all my social media posts is choose love. Hashtag everything, choose love. I talk about it in my spoken word poetry. I talk about it as a solution to choose love. People are always saying to me, like, oh yeah, that's so wonderful of a concept, but like, how does that actually solve anything? Here's one example. Think about what it means when that person who feels wronged by Muslims feels just so much hatred in their heart because they had family members or a husband or a wife who died overseas in the military. So now they have this hatred in their heart, or because they had someone who died in 9/11. And so you have this hatred and anger and deep hurt in their heart that is being aimed at Muslims. Because we have a political system that's played on that fear. And we have a media network that's also playing on that fear. And so now, imagine the effect that you can have on that person by meeting them with compassion and love. It may not solve everything, but it's going to bring, it may not bring them from the death hot sauce all the way back to the mild, but it can bring them to the medium. It's a step in the process. But what we're seeing right now in today's world is we're seeing that people's anger and bigotry and prejudice and fear is being met with more anger and hatred and fear. Oh, you blame Muslims for everything? Well, you're just an Islamophobe. You're just a right-wing Republican Trump supporter, and you just want to build this wall too, probably, blah, 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 blah. You're meeting with anger. Just what we saw in Berkeley between Trump supporters and non-Trump supporters physically getting in confrontations. It's anger meeting anger. And there's fear underneath that cannot be comforted by being attacked. It can only be comforted with compassion. Someone who's afraid of a spider or of heights or of public speaking, you don't yell at them. You don't tell them how stupid they are. You meet them with compassion. You lend a supporting hand, and maybe, just maybe, that support is what they need to overcome their fear. And so even though it may be harder, because when you're seeing someone who is preaching hatred, who's saying how homosexuals, this is a big one that I've seen on my timeline for some reason recently, people talking about how homosexuality is a sin, how homosexuality is unnatural, like all these aspects. And then they're wrapping it up with this wonderful bow of, oh, it's just my opinion. I don't hate any gay people. I don't blah, 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 blah. I did a Facebook post about this. I'm not going to rant on it. And it's easy for me, like I can see how it's easy for me, and it has been in my life, to immediately say that person is ignorant, that person is dumb, that person is contributing to all the problems of society. And I now recognize that that's not helpful, that viewpoint, and treating them as someone who slighted me, treating them as someone who's contributed to this planet that lives in fear and has wars going on, hate crimes, contributing to that, I recognize that for a lot of my life, I've responded in that way. I've responded with the righteous anger that does not serve. And so by choosing love, by dropping into the compassionate part of my being, I have the opportunity to shift people back to their natural state of love and compassion. That's what choose love means. Compassion is contagious. Love is contagious. And so I'm going to encourage you, as you go about your day today and tomorrow and every day going forward, as consciously aware of it as you can, choose love. Treat everyone you see with kindness and compassion and as a fellow human being. because that will spread. That will absolutely spread. And when it does, we are going to see the entire world begin to shift into a more loving way of being. We are going to see a lot of the problems that we are fighting against and we are protesting against. We're going to see a lot of those things fall to the wayside. Because loving, happy, unafraid people don't go and bomb the rest of the world. They don't go and abuse their wives. They don't commit hate crimes. So I encourage you to be the change that you wish to see. Find the compassion and love in your heart, even for the people you feel may have slighted you. Even for the people you feel are harming others. Find the compassion, find the love. It's contagious. Thank you for being a part of this today, for listening to this musing. As always, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved.